Hello and welcome along to the On the Whistle podcast. I'm your host, Zain Nabi. Joining me around the table to dissect the quarterfinals in the CAF Champions League and look ahead to the semi-finals are none other than two of African football's finest minds, Courtney Fries and Francis Nkwayin. Francis, let's start with you, my brother. We have not seen you in what feels like a century. How are you doing? Where are you? And what deals are you cutting?
I'm doing really, really well, Zain. Very, very happy to be with you, Courtney and Zain. Once again, I have missed you guys ever so terribly. And for that reason, I thought I would brave the weather in London and come and join you. So I'm in sunny London.
Welcome to your second, third, fourth, fifth home.
One of the homes. We're here. Happy to be here. Loving it. Trying to get things in order for the summer transfer window. Most seasons, I'm a United fan. Seasons are done. So we're making preparation for the next. Love it. Great to be here with you.
Love it. And Courtney Fries, the man whose surname likes to match the cold weather. How is our Premier Soccer League winner doing?
Zain, I'm dangerously good. Absolutely on top of it. It's Masters Week. So I'm on top of it. Really, really happy with the football schedule in front of us and the golf schedule in front of us.
Well, listen, the Masters are on. You play at Masters level when it comes to football. So there's a nice link there. Well, listen, so much to get into around the Champions League quarterfinals and semifinals coming up in the CAF CL. Let's start off by reminding you, please send us your views, send us your comments. We love to hear from you. You can hit us up at OTW_podcast on X, formerly known as Twitter, and also Instagram, or just search for the On the Whistle podcast on YouTube and Facebook. We're easy to find. Last week, Courtney, when we gave our preview, I have to tell you that you called the Sundowns game so very well. You were nervous about this game. You were concerned what it could throw up against young Africans, the high-flying Tanzanians. They went to South Africa. They went to play in Sundowns' backyard, and they took the game to penalties. So this was the banana peel that you were worried about. Having watched the game, did it live up to your concerns?
Absolutely, Zain. Let me just say this to you. I think the young Africans players must have ran between 13 and 15 kilometers in total in that game. What an industrious effort by this team. What I spoke to you about last week is I've got a funny feeling Sundowns are not at the level of intensity they need to be at. And I think young Africans caught them cold. If they don't have the intimidating figure of Ronwen Williams in goal, I think young Africans go through. Absolutely. They were the attacking force. Sundowns are just not hitting the right pace at this point in time. And that could be down to the competition they're facing at the moment. Young Africans were ahead. They just didn't have anyone to finish off chances. But what's disappointing me at the moment in this large tournament, and we're going to get into it a bit later, is the low number of goals, man. Because even in a penalty shootout, Sundowns won it 1-0. Where does that happen? 1-0, come on, man.
I mean, listen, we know that Sundowns are admired from afar for Rulani Ball. We know they're dominant in the South African League. Francis, I mean, what were your takeaways? Were you surprised that young Africans took it this close? Because I also don't want to commit a disservice to the team that's flying high in Tanzania and a league that produced not one, but two quarterfinalists with their rivals, Simba, also playing against Al Ahly.
No, very true. And I mean, we must also remember we've had on our podcast a very, very dynamic, ambitious leader of that team who shared their vision to be a team that will give some of the bigger teams on the continent a run for their money. And they did just that. They are, like their name says, a very young African team. I was extremely impressed by the energy that they put into their game. But
Absolutely.
Courtney touches on something that I find, or I found, and I still find extremely disappointing, which is at these moments where we can showcase what exactly we have to offer as a product, because let's not get this wrong, the Champions League football is supposed to be a product in and of itself. When we come away from that and we see what we saw for the equivalent stage of the UEFA Champions League quarters, and we're bombarded with 18 goals over 4 games, and we go back and we look at the first leg of our games, and we had one goal from the first leg because it was just nil nils, nil nils, nil nils, nil nils all over the place. And then we get to the second legs, and two of those games go to penalties. Like Courtney says, they're actually quite disappointing. And here we're talking about the penalties themselves, but the quality of play overall, in terms of excitement factor, in terms of what we have come to associate Sundowns with, also, I don't know whether it's down to the fact that pretty much that team had played the AFCON. I mean, I don't know whether it's just fatigue
Sure, the
or
team
whatever.
that was pretty much dominant in the
Pretty
AFL,
much, yes, pretty much.
also prior to the AFCON.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. Like, whether it's just fatigue that's gotten to them at this stage of the tournament, or maybe they underestimated the opposition that they were up against. I don't know what it was, but I was more impressed by our Tanzanian brothers and what
Finish.
they had to offer. I respect the industry, I respected the effort, and almost respect the respect that they gave to the occasion. Maybe because for them it was more of a statement that they were where they want to be and where they hope to be fr more frequently over the coming years. They, I felt, deserve to win for effort. But the big teams, like most big teams, always seem to pull it out of the hat. And I feel like that's what happened here. It was just one of those preordained, well, Sundowns are gonna take it, and they took it. Not because they deserved it, but more because maybe their pedigree just says they're supposed to. But if this match was replayed again next year, I guarantee you the Tanzanians would go through.
Absolutely, Zane. Absolutely. And there was such a great moment in the game where there was this goal line decision. I've never seen such a close one before. I don't know if you can remember back to the 3 seasons ago, Liverpool lost the league by 1 point to Man City, and Mohamed Salah has a ball cleared off the line by John Stones, and it was like 7 centimeters. Sundowns had something that it must have been 2 centimeters. It was so close, but VAR was there to interject and say, well, this is not a goal. But they were just piling on the pressure. But, Ronwen Williams, man, the intimidating figure of this guy, they missed 3 penalties, Zane. They didn't even hit the target, Intimidated. Sundowns have gone through, they are a monstrous team. But I can't see them winning this tournament. I'll say that to you now.
Well, listen, before we move on to the other runners and riders, I want to throw this question to you guys. Young Africans were obviously unhappy with the result. If I'm correct, they had a goal in the 57th minute that looked legitimate, that wasn't allowed. They are concerned that there was match manipulation and have lodged an official match fixing protest to CAF. What were your guys' take on it from afar? I know. Not asking you to say whether this is correct or not, but having watched from afar, did you get a sense there were some strange decisions?
Well, Zane, let me just say this to you, right? The goal that they are contesting is the situation I'm talking about. Okay? Is the narrow over the line goal situation. Now, I'm going to make an analogy here. If you're a batsman and the bowler bowls the ball and you hear a nick, and when they go back to Sneeko and you don't see the reverberations move, you don't walk. You don't walk. The ball wasn't over the line. They can moan until next week, Zane. Were they the better team on the day? Hands down. You know, should their industriousness have caused the goal? Absolutely. But that's not how football goes, Zane. You know, that's really not. It's not written in the script or in the stars for anybody. Sundowns go through, and unfortunately, they feel hard done by because they were the more glittering team on the day. They really play. If I'm the manager, that's a beautiful loss. That's how I describe it. A beautiful loss. Je ne sais quoi. I'll take it.
I think it's also easy for us without the emotional investment to say so. So I can understand their frustration. Because like I said before, they are where they want to be. They worked hard to get there and they feel like they deserve to go further for the effort that they put in on the day. However, rules are rules. Some things come off a little bit sour in the mouth when you might want to look at who's running the organization and who's the boss of the and all of that kind of stuff. So it's those kind of things that I think motivates people to feel like something must be, there might be a desire to see one team go through more than another. But I think it's only the emotions of the moment. I think with the cold light of day and with the passing of time, they'll understand that these things always happen in football. Another time it will be them who will be on the winning end of a decision like this. It's the nature of the beast. Yes, we brought in VAR to make sure these things don't happen. And I think that's what actually VAR did.
Yeah.
It actually said, well, it didn't cross fully. Now, if we didn't have
the technology, the doubt. Well said, sir.
Exactly. And if we didn't have the technology, then I think we could be having the omen and R-ing and maybe going in a little bit more about this. But I think it's just one of those things. And I think they will be stronger for it.
I like what you say there, Francis, you know, because you're looking at it from their point of view. And I think because of the way the game went, Zane, that's why they're even more upset. You know, it's not like they were hanging on and this chance came. They'd be like, oh, gosh, we were lucky. No, that wasn't the case. You know, and they're full of emotion. And then you got to throw the last element in here, saying the prize money is ridiculous for winning this tournament. I would be chopping legs off to try and get through to the next round. It is absolutely outstanding, the prize money that's up. Some of the rumors being around there, and correct me if I'm wrong, in South African terms, it could almost equate to something like 1.1 billion rand.
Yeah, if I'm correct, it's $4 million, but we'll take a look. I'll double check that before the end of the pod, guys. But 4 million is the figure I have from memory.
It's money, man. It's ridiculous money. So you can understand why teams now are throwing everything at this and would be frustrated.
Sure. Well, listen, I think that's a great way to probably leave the quarterfinal. And, you know, sometimes trying to do the math and connect the dots, former Sundowns president, Patrice Motsepe, being the head of CAF, sometimes makes us look at, think we're amateur sleuths and we figured it out when it's as simple as, you know, it was a close chance that didn't go your way. Well, listen, the other great game out there, or the other team who many believe will lift the tournament, is Al Ahly. They played against Simba. 2-0 win. They progress to the next round. Wow. Courtney, I remember you saying earlier there could be no other winner in Cairo.
Zane, what a classy performance. You know, what a... up to today, I don't know what's wrong with Pizzo and why he left that project. I don't know. This team can play football, Zane. And when I say can play football, they are playing football from all areas of the pitch. High intense. Simba were never in this game. They were never going to be in this game. They were totally outclassed by a juggernaut of a team. Now, Simba have the right to be where they are. Yes. But they were never going to get past Al Ahly in this form. Their form is absolutely outstanding. And the panache of their second goal, you know, where it was held, played into the box. The guy's got his back towards goal in the 6-yard box, lays it off in the 18. It's all the elements of beautiful play, man. Beauty, not just winning, beautiful play.
And the game the way it should be played.
I'm telling you, Zane, I'm letting you know now, they walked to this tournament. They walked this tournament comfortably. No one will stop them.
I think Courtney has said it all. Honestly, it was a joy to watch. Seriously, very enjoyable football. And not over two legs, clean sheet as well. Like they
Well said, sir.
you could I don't even remember chances for Simba. That's how much. And I've watched both games in full. I was trying to scout some Simba players for we there's even a young Cameroonian defender I absolutely enjoy. He ended up getting like a yellow card. He gave away the final penalty. Che Malone, really, really good defender. But I wanted to see him in this kind of game. And there were moments where I almost felt sorry. You know, like it was a game of chess and checkers. Like they were both on the pitch, but the two teams were doing two completely different things. And I don't mean to be rude to Simba. I'm a big fan of what it is that they do, but
Sure.
it was they were like Al Ahly were head and shoulders above. And they were comfortable throughout. And, you know, they were the only team that won that first leg, I believe. Like they had like a 1-0, and
One
then
nil
they
victory.
scored the
Yes.
only goal in the first part,
It
and then
was.
scored another two in the second leg. But truly a masterful display. Now, the only thing that could go against them is if they get arrogant, because again, it's still a cup competition.
Yeah.
So when you get to these one game match situation, let's say they make it to the final, they need to approach it the way they have done over the last few years, which is why they've been champions. But we've seen them lose as well. So they need to bring this A game that they've demonstrated over the last two games to the next few games that will be coming up, to guarantee that they win it. But I do think it's their cup to lose. Let's put it that way.
Zane,
No, no,
listen,
Courtney.
I think we've summarized this game well. The thing that's getting to me, Zane, is besides the low number of goals, it's the crowd, Zane. This is a Champions League quarterfinal. How are the stadiums so empty? I don't it just gets to me, you know? This is quality football, man. Al Ahly or Zane, I'm saying, playing some of the best football I've watched in a long time. Good transitioning, good back and forth. I just don't understand how people
And I
have
have to say
taken
this
the
as
time.
well. Two things. I think we have to once again understand, bless you, understand the effort we need to put into how we sell our product to ourselves. And we cannot overstate this enough. I was on the continent and you struggled to find bars that were showing the games, to find venues you could walk into and these games. And Cameroon is a football loving nation. Like we would consume anything. Yes, we have our footballing hot potato that people are playing right now, and that's a little bit of a distraction. But if there's a quality product and it's marketed appropriately to the masses, they will turn up. But this comes down like the stadium being empty is also a matter of how accessible are our nations to each other? And I'm sorry, I always harp on about like the political angle, but movement in our continent still isn't easy. So you have to ask, what does it take for a Tanzanian to make it over to Egypt? What does it take for an Egyptian to make it over to Tanzania? What are the processes? Do they need visas? How long does it take for them to get it? So can their fan club move their fans over there? Are there direct flights, or do they need to
Very
go
true.
via
Very
Kenya
true.
or via Ethiopia? It's all of this logistics. They can't hop on coaches and just do the ride. The next games that are coming up, we have Egypt against Congo, and we've got Algeria against South Africa. Now, we can be talking about the teams. We have to talk about the nations and say, what has CAF come along to put in place, even if it's just for these moments, to facilitate the movement between, do they, dare I use, or maybe an unfortunate choice of words, conscript an airline for that weekend and say to Air Algeria or to South African Airlines, so yeah, South African Airlines, can we lay down two, three, four special flights at a discounted rate that can move the numbers or subsidize, because CAF keeps talking about subsidizing the clubs and these big windfalls that will go to the clubs. But we always forget about the fans. The fans create the atmosphere that almost rubber stamps the product. Part of
Absolutely.
the enjoyment of what we have witnessed
Absolutely.
over the last few days is the atmosphere. Seeing people at that Atletico stadium and the noise that they were making over there lets those guys know when you go to that next game, you're winning it. When a team talks about the home advantage for City, or when they bring Real Madrid back there, it's not how well City will play as a team. It's the same players. But the extra thing that they get is that 13th man, which is the supporters. And being at home, how well are they supported on home turf? So I think there's a
Francis, I
lot
think
that needs to
you've
go
hit.
into this.
I think you've
And we
hit it
need
on
to
the
think
head.
about how
Yeah.
the price points, because these Tunisian clubs, these Egyptian clubs, the Sundowns, these big clubs have their supporters. But we must ask ourselves, why aren't they at the stadium? Because home and away, like, so each person had one game at home. None of the games had us was sold out. None. So either the
Is this
product isn't
possible?
exciting enough and something has to be done about it, or the price points are wrong. And these conversations must be had, these things must be reviewed, because without the fans, there is no product.
Francis, you know what? Perfect, man. Absolutely. I'll tell you what, Francis. The game that was sold out was the first game between TP Mazembe and Petro. It was a small stadium. The game was sold out. Okay. I would rather a team do that because you need the atmosphere, you need that intensity. But I've been watching these games, and one side of a four-tier stadium is sold out. And you just think to yourself, goodness gracious me, man. What sort of advert is that? And I like the choice of words. What sort of advert is that for the product on show? Because, Zane, as I said, you would watch Al Ahly play any day, Zane. They play good football. They play very. And when Sundowns are cooking, Sundowns play good football, Zane. So these people have got products.
And as do TP Mazembe, and as do Esperance. So now we have four teams that actually play great football. Now, what we need to do is figure out how we are going to orchestrate a product to allow these teams to know that they need to play well. And the only way you do that is when they have the fans there with them as well, or know that they're on. When we celebrate 2 billion eyeballs watching the AFCON, and we say how great the AFCON was, it's
Wow.
because we made it into a product. The same people, I'm giving them credit. The
Yes.
same house, CAF, has
It is true.
demonstrated that they have the ability to. So they might just need time, but they must get the thinking hats on sooner rather than later, because the juxtaposition at present is far too evident, because it's running concurrently with another quarterfinal in another federation's or federated agency in UEFA, and we're doing comparison contrasting, because both things are being beamed to all of our eyeballs. And so we watch one set and then we turn and we look at the other one. And when you want to then say to a young 17 or 15-year-old young player, stay home, you get to play in big games, that's an example of a big game. And we need to be selling this as a dream to these young lads, the 11-year-old, the 12-year-old lad who's still at Mamelodi's academy, for them to believe that, you know, I can fulfill all my dreams here. Not because it's comfortable and I might make some decent money, or it's not about that, that you will have the type of cauldron atmosphere and qualitative products that every player wants to be a part of. The South American lads don't need to dream about leaving Argentina or leaving Brazil for them to do their one back home. When you see the number of people heading to the stadium to watch the equivalent of these tournaments, it's unbelievable.
But
You're
Francis,
watching the
I want to
Ecuadorian
mention
touch.
something as well, because you're talking about the talent there, right? You're talking about the talent. Let's talk about the non-talent. Let's talk about the people that can't play football. What are the marketing departments doing to get people that are not even going to become football players or any sport players to come and watch the game? I'm going to give you an example. As you guys know, my daughter loves rugby. We get contacted by Saracens Rugby. Does your daughter like
I
rugby?
thought it was skiing.
and it's skiing, and it's tennis, and it's netball, and it's football, which she hates as well. But Saracens contact us. If your daughter likes rugby, she's welcome to come to the grounds, be part of the crowd, walking the players on. Now, what does that do? That takes me as a parent and my child to the ground now. Okay? We end up going to watch a game. What are these marketing departments doing to attract people, Francis? And you can't have such a successful Nations Cup, man. And I'm talking, what a tournament, man. And then all of a sudden, the biggest club tournament is from a fan's point of view.
I get perfectly the point that you're making. And what I'll say to that is that's the onus of that is on the clubs. That's their engagement with their fans. That's their ability to bring their fans along on the journey. And sometimes the argument has been, if they had the means, they could also kind of like trickle down effect, support their fans with their ability to connect. The marketing teams of each club have to do that job. I was speaking to the ability for us to put together a product at that Pan-African level that says this is also one of our flags that we're putting down. The same way the same fantastic house has put down the flag for AFCON. So with this product, we're saying not just the check that you cut as the prize money is important, because there's no guarantee that the same team that gets that money therefore will be there next year. But it's how do you get the fans to want to watch this from that high top level? And so if that means at that level, you're speaking with the government tools, and that's why I was speaking about the airlines and saying it's an international affair. There's very little a club can do to say we want to process visas without having the support maybe of the Ministry of Sports or the ambassador in that relevant nation. And that happens at governmental level. Now, if your Minister of Sports happens not to be a Sundowns fan, he may not want to process that. But if the instructions were coming from state level and it's South Africa, then we need to move our citizens. At that point in time, it's not about the colors you wear. It's the flag that you're flying. So that's why I was saying these four games coming up. It's Algeria against South Africa. It's Egypt against Congo.
Very true.
That's how it needs to be seen. And at some point in time, CAF has to interject itself into the logistics that could support how fans come and go. And then the business opportunities exist. The entertainment value that you're speaking about gets generated anyway, because then it's the hotelier who says, what rates can I offer? The fans of Sundowns are not just in one town. So if somebody was going to come in from Cape Town in the same way they were going to come over from Cairo, where do they stay? Where do they eat? What bars do they go to drink? Who can't maybe go to the stadium, but they just want the atmosphere? How are we tapping into that? Are we building a fun what do I call them? Fan park? For those who maybe can't make it to the stadium because we're oversubscribed, or like you rightly pointed out, how about if we don't play at a big stadium and we find a 20,000-seater stadium or a 10,000-seater stadium, so we pack it out so that way the visibility of the product, what we see, the visuals, the optics, are just that little bit better. So that way when we're packaging it and we're trying to sell it to sponsors tomorrow, they're seeing something and they're going, ooh, this thing is very well attended. It looks good. It's those hats that I'm asking for us to be able to put on through these phases so we can build a product. And it's not just for the clubs. The clubs will focus about themselves, their fans, but you need to have a structure that sits above them that is thinking about creating a product that it doesn't matter what club is playing. There's a system that is put in place that facilitates the not just entrenchment, but the development of a product that can be competitive on the global market. You want somebody to wake up in New York at 3 a.m. to watch this game because they're from Argentina and they love Percy Tau and they're hoping he makes it onto the pitch this time because he didn't the last time. That engagement, he could have fallen in love with Percy Tau just because of the AFCON. The Cameroonians who have no skin in the game. I jokingly said, I have no skin in the game, but I'm watching it more to say, what happens if in 2 years or in 3 years time, one of the teams that I support from my home country makes it? Is there a product here that I might decide that I want to invest in that team so they can make it to the stage of the tournament? What I'm seeing at present isn't exciting.
I find what you're saying easy to understand, but difficult to see how other people are not understanding it and implementing it. I really find that difficult. I find it exceptionally difficult. Your whole focus is football, okay? You don't have a side job. You're not doing something else. You're not working in a school. You're not working as a journalist. You're only doing football. It's made of separate compartments. That's why you don't only need football people in football. You need media people that can get journalists in to interview players to sell the product, as we always know. And then you also need people to promote the team and get supporters in to watch the team. I don't know how they're failing at this. I don't know.
I think that's a discussion for another day, maybe. Good talk.
That was fascinating, guys.
We should get Mr. Matope to join us for that.
Great insight. Well, listen, this is where we want to invite people to leave comments. Let us know what you think. You know, last week when we were previewing the podcast, you know, we had some interaction from one of our loyal listeners. One, Adam Aziz, you know, he was talking about his predictions for the next round. He was talking about how he thinks Sundowns should be winning. But he said, I have a feeling for Yanga. and he also predicted that Al Ahly would do well, and that would be his pick for the tournament. So if you think like Adam, or if you think differently, please leave ratings, leave reviews, leave comments wherever you get your podcast, or if you go to our YouTube account. Gentlemen, there were two other semifinals to dig into, two to look into. The way the semifinals have panned out, we will have Al Ahly, who we've spoken at length about, playing TP Mazembe from the DRC. And we'll have Sundowns playing against ES Tunis. So again, two North Africans in there, two from sub-Saharan continent on different sides of the draw. So that's exciting. I know that Petro Luanda and Mazembe was closely contested. Mazembe winning 2-1. And a really interesting moment with the goalkeeper, or a couple of them, Courtney. I know that caught your attention from Petro Luanda.
Well, firstly, Zane, I was just happy there were goals in this game, firstly, because the week before, that game put me to sleep. I'm telling you. But this week, there were three goals in the game. Okay, game started off well. Boom, a goal went in 29th minute or something about there. And then you have TP Mazembe scoring after halftime and then getting a goal in the 96th minute. But the goal in the 96th minute, which is the winning goal for Mazembe that takes him through to the semi-final again against Al Ahly, that's the comical goal. You know, Hugo Marquez, who's the goalkeeper, who's been doing well in goal at that point in time, is caught in the second half of the pitch on the left side. He's playing like a left half. What's he doing there in the 96th minute? I don't know. I don't know, Zane. He was like a pedestrian walking around. If he can be sitting somewhere to explain what he was doing, I don't know. Because there's no one in goal now. They get the ball and the two defenders clash with the striker and it goes to a Mazembe guy who just taps it in for the win and they go through. And this goalkeeper, I was just thinking to myself, what is he doing? I know he's a tall guy. He could go enough for a corner, but he was almost like in between going or not going and then got caught in no man's land. Don't go. Don't get involved, man.
I was going to say, Francis, you're chuckling there, so you must have a thought on this.
It's just comical, man.
Comical is the only word. I mean, like, it reminded me of, like, those... You remember the days of Eurosport, like when they used to talk about African football like it was, I don't know, like infantile or something? It reminded me a little bit of that, and I was a bit embarrassed. I took it personally because it's like I still don't understand why he was where he was at that time. I can't. It wasn't a corner kick. There was no reason for this guy to be where he was. But I
so think... sorry, Francis. I've got to say this. I was watching it and I thought, but that person's got a different colored kit on. What's he doing there? It was the goalkeeper. Because he was wearing a purple jersey. Right? And I was thinking, where's this guy come from?
I know.
It's the goalkeeper.
You know what this reminds me of is when Courtney said his friend was a big football fan. And he went and bought the football kit, I think, of United or Liverpool.
Oh,
He went to
the
gym.
yes.
And guess what kit this guy was walking around in, Francis?
What kit?
The goalkeeper jersey. The guy bought a goalkeeper jersey and he's in the gym. And one of the people says to him, "Oh, so you're away in France this week?" And he said, "Hey, how did you know? My wife and I are going to France."
Ah,
Talking about your team as away in France. There's a guy that doesn't know anything about football, but went out and bought himself a kit and bought himself a goalkeeper.
because the product is good.
There you go. Even when you make a mistake, you do
Why
the
do you notice
right
that people are still buying your product? They're buying you and they're buying goods.
That's a good marketing way to look at it, Francis. That's a
You
good
go.
market. But
That means
Zane,
somebody's winning.
an eventful game for the wrong reasons. Mazembe go through, they won't go past Alakri. Even if they come with a big stick and a bus, not going to happen. They don't have what it takes. They don't. Al-Ahli are just too polished.
Well, listen, that leaves us with one more semi-final to look at, and that was Essec Mimosa and Esperance. This wasn't one for the ages. Another draw, another tightly
Wasn't so
contested
bad.
game.
It wasn't so bad.
Go on, you tell me
It
what was
had.
redemptive
Sorry,
about
which game are we
one
talking about now? Which game are we talking
ASEC against
about? Now,
Esperance.
Zane, I did say to you last week,
Yeah.
when they get back to the Côte d'Ivoire, Mimosa will be a different project.
That's
They
right.
were very positive on the day.
Yes.
They were very positive.
Very
Sorry,
youthful
sorry.
team. Yes, very young team, very exciting team. I like the young defender Koulibaly. Solid guy. Does great passes out the back. Yes, nice. For me, an enjoyable game. At least
I
this
mean, look,
one.
but this went to penalties,
Yes, and they
with
scored a lot of the
Esperance winning
penalties. It was
4-2.
4-2.
Yes.
It wasn't one of those where only one penalty was scored or something. It was a one of the better games. Not wow, but I think the Ivorians, ASEC is known for, it has a history of producing a lot of talent, young talent, giving opportunity to the next gen. And I think with the nation having won the AFCON, there was a lot of hope that this team could go just that one step further. Against some pretty decent opposition. Esperance are no mean competition. I mean, they're a very, very serious outfit, very professional. They're one of those teams that young Ivorians would actually leave Ivory Coast to go sign for. So it was good to see. I think the better team over both legs won. It leaves Esperance now playing Mamelodi Sundowns. I don't think they will get past them. So we kind of like, if I was a betting man, I would be saying it will be an Al Ahly Mamelodi Sundowns final if I were betting. But
Well,
you never know. Hopefully.
listen, I think it, oh, sorry, go on.
I think Esperance beats Sundowns. I think they do.
Well, this is where I was going. I think
I
Esperance
think
beats
Esperance
Sundowns
beats
too.
Sundowns.
And it's not necessarily because they're the better football team, but I just think there's a lot of incentive for them to want to win. And they play a style of
What would
football
that incentive be?
not
Just
comfortable.
money?
I wouldn't have chose that language to say why I think. I wouldn't have said that. I just think that Esperance are more physical and have an aerial threat that Sundowns will not be able to defend that well. I know Sundowns has got possibly the best African goalkeeper on the continent playing there at this point in time. No disrespect to Onana, he's not on the continent, he's playing somewhere else. But I think Esperance, I think over two legs, they grind out a victory. I'm worried. Sundowns is casual preparations, and that's not their fault. They just don't have the teams to get them to that intensity that they're facing in the South African League. They don't have enough of the teams. That's why I feel they're going in undercooked. Francis mentioned a bit of fatigue as well. That could also be coming into play. I know their preparations are excellent. They're traveling with their own cooks. They're traveling privately. They're not traveling commercial. They've really upped their preparations. Totally different. But I think Esperance have got the edge here.
You're right. Maybe my framing wasn't that Esperance have more to play for, Francis, but I think they're more suited to cup football. I think they know how to do the job. I would love to see Sundowns progress because, for the most part, they play the type of football that I think can attract fans. I think Rolani's a fantastic coach, arguably the most exciting on the African continent, and I hope he can go on to bigger and better things one day. But I just, yeah. I'm not convinced steamrolling the Premier Soccer League benefits Sundowns when they have to go onto the continent. And I understand the motivation, right? They have built a squad, they've built a team that is meant to be successful on the continent because they want to go to the FIFA Club World Cup. So when people say people don't want to play in that tournament, that is a club that wants to. The outlay of money is to get that opportunity to play against the best teams in the world. And go to that level and have that ambition to be successful there. Not saying they'll win it, but they'll certainly, if they have the right players and Rulani there, they can put on a show. But I'm a little worried about Esperance, what they can do in these types of games.
I agree with you, Zane. I agree with you. And having watched how defensively sound, a bit awkward, and not easy to play against when I watched the Esperance game, right? I just thought to myself, Sundowns don't want a team like that. Sundowns don't want. Sundowns want an Al Ahly. That's who Sundowns want. Like for like. That's not what
And
Sundowns said.
also, I'm going to be very interested to see what the home crowd situation is for these games because I think Esperance will bus them in. I think they're going to make it a really uncomfortable atmosphere for Sundowns visiting. So I would say Sundowns better be on high alert because as much as I would like to not see an all North African final. It feels like it's shaping up to be that way. There we go. No one disagrees with me.
Semi-finalists are Al Ahly, Mzembe, Esperance, Sundowns. I've said Esperance versus Sundowns, Esperance versus Al Ahly in the final.
Well, you can say that, and I say it will be Sundowns v Al Ahly. So
Well,
I think it'll be the two extremes of the continent. So everybody
if
feels involved. So great book ends.
Yes. And if Ali was here, maybe he'd say TP Mazembe and Sundowns for the final. Who knows?
I doubt it.
Because listen, playing on that AstroTurf, going on that pitch, a lot of teams have complained in the past. And as you say, Courtney, it's a full house. And, stranger things have happened in football.
True, very true.
Very true. No, I mean, I'm a big TP Mazembe fan. Don't get me wrong. It's actually like my continental team. But I just think, in let's be honest here. What Al Ahly are doing right now and the way they're playing, like I said, it's theirs to lose. So if
Absolutely.
they don't turn up on the day and TP Mazembe do something to them, fair enough. But I don't think that if the gods of football were getting together at a clubhouse to share a club sandwich, they wouldn't be stuffing it with TP Mazembe and washing it down with a little bit of Al Ahly juice.
Yeah, and here I was thinking you had a soft spot for Hearts of Oak from Accra, France.
Hey,
I know
no,
you're Cameroonian,
don't
but
get me confused.
and I thought that Courtney's soft spot was ASEC,
Love them.
from Abidjan. So
Love them.
We all have many. I'm a PWD Bamenda.
I thought they were. I just wish they had attacked the first leg of the quarterfinal the way they went about the second leg. I really felt that there would have been more joy there. They've got such a young team. Go and be reckless, man. Just go and be reckless. There's no need to be conservative. But you
Sure.
also know what managers are facing. You just don't know what pressures they're under at the moment.
Well, listen, as we bring this podcast to an end, thank you again for the analysis. If you're asking me where my eye is soft spot for, it has to be Chicken NFC from Bulawayo playing the Zimbabwean Professional League. Why? Because I like chicken. Listen, Courtney, Francis, love chewing the fat. Have a good week, and I look forward to seeing you soon as we look at the biggest games on the continent and bring you the biggest talking points. So, like Ashley.
All the best. Take care, gentlemen. Bye.